as we celebrate Easter and the power of Jesus, let's remember that He has the power to create, He has the power to provide, He has the power to heal, and He has the power to rise from the dead. Since Jesus has the power, He can forgive our sins and give us life.
Welcome and thank you for connecting with Open Door Church. Today, the meaning of Easter for millions of Christians is that of honoring and recognizing Jesus Christ's resurrection from the dead and His glorious promise of eternal life for all who believe in Him. Now, with today's message, here's Pastor Luke.
Last week, Palm Sunday, we celebrated the presence of Jesus. Today, Easter Sunday, we celebrate the power of Jesus, the power of Jesus. And it's interesting, if you look up, I've got a wooden baseball bat up here. And here's why. Not because Jesus played baseball, but if He did, He was a carpenter, right? So He probably would have made the best bats around, right? I mean, they were probably better than Louisville, I dare say. But one of the first entries in the Merriam-Webster dictionary for the definition of power is, and I quote, the ability to get extra base hits. So it's like, well, hey, we're thinking about power, and I was just doing different research and different things, and I look up definitions because I'm like, I want to understand what it is when the Bible talks about power, and what do we understand to be power? And so I looked up power, and I'm like, baseball. Like only in America, right? And so it's like when we think of who is somebody that's really powerful, we think, oh man, it's Barry Bonds, it's Sammy Sosa, or it's Babe Ruth. And some people are thinking, who's Baby Ruth, right? Some girl. No, it's not. Okay? One of the greatest, or arguably the greatest hitter of all time. And I know the Bradley boys are thinking, Pastor Luke, you haven't seen us hit in a while, right? We've got a lot of power. Amen. Yeah, and Emma Kate too. But here's another definition for power. It's possession of control, authority, or influence over others. And I was thinking, you know what? There are some great athletes that have amazing control with a bat, with a ball. And they have authority when they're on the playing field. And they do have great influence on others and on the game, right? But we're going beyond baseball today. We're going beyond baseball. Because when we think about control, authority, and influence over others, no one has had more control, authority, or influence on the earth than Jesus Christ. Can I get a head nod? Yes. All right. And by the way, we live in the year, what? Anybody know what year it is? You can respond. All right? 2019. Where do we get that date from? It's AD, Anno Domini, which is Latin for in the year of our Lord. Jesus, think of Jesus every time you write the date. Talk about influence. And I will say, and I'm not trying to offend anybody, I have friends who are atheists, and we can still be friends, and I'm praying for them to know God. And I heard recently that if there was no God, there would be no atheists. That's a deep thought. It really is deep. The more you think about it, it's like if there was no God, they would have no one to not believe in, right? But think about it. Everyone, no matter where people are in their spiritual journey, we write the date and we have to acknowledge the influence that Jesus has had on this world. He is powerful. But what if we know that Jesus is powerful, but we don't understand how His power affects us? I would say that's true of a lot of people today. We know that Jesus is powerful. We can accept that, but we don't really realize how does His power affect me. Today we're going to celebrate the power of Jesus, but also what His power means for us. Would you pray with me, and then we're going to look into God's word together. God, we love You. We want You to speak to us through Your word. God, we know that Jesus has all power. God, help us to celebrate that today, but also to celebrate what Jesus' power means for our lives. And we'll give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to look at four examples of Jesus' power and what that means for us. We're going to jump around in Scripture a bit. You can listen, or if you're quick with your thumbs or your smart device, you can follow along. John chapter 1, we're going to go there first. The first example of Jesus' power is that Jesus has the power to create. There's a lot of debate in the science world and realm and spiritual realm, and a lot of people want to pit science against religion or spirituality. I don't believe that they are at odds with each other at all. But Jesus has the power to create. In John chapter 1, verse 3, it says that all things were made through or by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, that's what it actually says, is in the beginning. It's in the beginning, and that's what it says. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. If we believe the Bible is true, and we do, then we believe that God created everything that there is. If you don't believe that, we can talk about it another time, and it's a fascinating, fascinating discussion. But the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and John, in the Gospel of John, is emphasizing that Jesus is deity. He is God. And so he says, listen, in the beginning, Jesus was with God, and Jesus is God. And in verse 3, he says, nothing. That is nothing. And you know what nothing means? Exactly what we understand it to mean. Nothing. There is not one single solitary piece of matter that has come into existence that was not brought into existence by the power of Jesus Christ. There are some that would believe that Jesus was actually created by God the Father. That's an error. Did you know that? That is not a true teaching according to the Bible. Why? Because of many different scriptures, but this is one of them. This verse would not be true if Jesus himself were created. Are you with me? It says, nothing was made without Jesus. Well, he couldn't have made himself because he would have ceased to exist at that moment. But Jesus has created everything we know. Why was John telling us this? It's one thing to say, oh, I know that Jesus is powerful, and I believe that he created the world. But why? Why is John emphasizing his power in creation? In John 20, verses 30 and 31, John tells us why he wrote all these things. This is interesting. It says, now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. And other scriptures talk about how if they would have tried to write down everything that Jesus did, the world would not even contain the scrolls that would have been written in. Okay? So he says, Jesus did a whole bunch of things that aren't even written in this book. But then in John 20, 31, he says, this is why I wrote the things that I did. He says, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, that's the Messiah, the Savior, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. John told us of the creating power of Jesus so we would trust him and have eternal life. If Jesus has the power to create the universe, then he can forgive our sins and he can give us life. The second example of Jesus' power is that Jesus also has the power to provide. Just a few short days ago, we all enjoyed paying our taxes, right? I know you're thinking, Pastor Luke, don't ask me to lie, especially not in church. Of course not. We don't enjoy paying our taxes, but I think we can all say that we're thankful to live in a country where we can afford to pay our taxes, right? And maybe some of us are like, ugh, I can't afford it. Well, in Matthew 17, there is a really unique instance of when Jesus proved his power to provide. The tax collectors, or the IRS of that day, came to Peter and asked if his master Jesus was going to pay the annual half shekel tax. This tax was to support the temple and the priests, or in our vernacular today, it would be to support the church and the pastors. The priests, however, were exempt from this tax. And it's interesting that Jesus tells Peter that he, Jesus, is exempt from paying the tax. But then in verse 27, he says this, however, so in spite of the fact that I don't have to pay this tax, and by the way, there are Christians that argue that because our loyalty is to God, we don't have to submit or pay taxes to our human authority or human government. Is that correct? Head nod or no? Come on now. Join. No, that is not correct. Okay, we pay taxes. We pay taxes, and that's what we're supposed to do. And if you want an example of that in Scripture, here's one. And there are actually more where Jesus paid taxes. And we want to be like Jesus, amen? Oh, rats, Jesus paid taxes. I wish he wouldn't have, right? But here's what he says. He says, I'm exempt, however, not to give offense to them. So Jesus is choosing his battles. He's saying, I'm not going to die on this mountain right here over the half shekel tax. In order not to give offense to them, go to the sea and cast a hook and take the first fish that comes up. This is great. He says, go fishing. You've got a problem? Go fishing. Some of you are, that's like, that's it. God spoke to me. God spoke to me. God doesn't need to tell me anything else. God, I'm hearing you loudly and clearly. When there is a problem, I need to go fishing. Here's what he says. Go fishing. Cast out. And take the first fish that comes up, and when you open its mouth, you will find a shekel. Take that and give it to them for me and for yourself. Right? The half shekel tax for Peter and for Jesus. Two halves make a whole shekel. Where do shekels come from? From fish, apparently. Right? Of course not. But here's a situation. I don't know if Peter didn't have the money or if Jesus didn't have the money. At this point, Jesus was working in his full-time ministry. He wasn't working as a carpenter anymore. I don't know of the finances, but here's what I know from this story. It's kind of an odd story, but it's a miraculous story where Jesus proves, I, Jesus, have the power to provide all of your needs. And you might think, well, if I pay taxes, or if I support the temple, or if I do this, or if I do that, then I need to take care of my own. And Jesus said, listen, I will take care of you. You don't believe me? Go fishing. Jesus has the power to provide. And the truth is that we work hard, and we should. Are you with me? We work hard at our respective jobs, and we should. But we also must remember that Jesus has the power to provide for our needs. Not always our wants, but our needs. And he can provide miraculously if need be. Do we believe that? He can provide. If Jesus has the power to provide, then he has the power to forgive our sins and to give us life. The third example of Jesus' power is that Jesus also has the power to heal. In Matthew chapter 9, verses 2 through 6, listen to this. It says, and behold, some people brought to him, to Jesus, a paralytic, a man who is paralyzed, lying on a bed. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven. And behold, some of the scribes said to themselves, this man is blaspheming, or he's lying. Pause right there for a moment. We see in many other instances in the Gospels, in the accounts of Jesus' actions, that he healed many people and that he had compassion on people. There are a couple different verses that just say briefly, and he healed everyone in the town. And it's like, what? Just one little verse. Like, he healed everybody? And that's part of what John said in the other Gospels. Like, everything's not included in the Bible. Like, we did not write even close to everything that Jesus did. He healed a bunch of people. What if we had a record of just that one instance where he healed everyone in that town? How big would the book be? Oh, and he healed this person, and he talked to this person, and he healed with this person, and this person, this person. I mean, I don't know how many days it took, but he healed people like crazy. But here, he's teaching them, he's talking to them, and these friends of this person who's paralyzed, they bring him to Jesus, and Jesus doesn't first heal him physically. Jesus demonstrates the real purpose why he came to this earth, and that was to heal people spiritually, to forgive their sins, to give them life, not physical life, but spiritual life, eternal life in his presence, in God's presence forever. And so this paralyzed person comes, and Jesus sees his heart and says, what you need most of all isn't to be healed of your disease. You need spiritual healing. And so take heart. I am forgiving your sins. And I wonder and I speculate what this paralyzed person was thinking in that moment. I really do. And I don't know. Maybe it was disappointment. Oh, I wanted to be healed. Maybe they felt that spiritual burden lifted and they felt that peace with God and they said, wow, I don't care that I'm paralyzed. I've just been healed spiritually by Jesus. I don't know. But here's how it goes. Here's what happened. Some of the scribes, those were the religious leaders, they said to themselves, this man is blaspheming. He's lying. They didn't say it out loud. They just said it in their minds. But Jesus is God, so he knows their thoughts, right? And verse 4 says, but Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, why do you think evil in your hearts? By the way, wouldn't that freak you out? If you were thinking something and someone turned and just answered you, like answered your thoughts, it's crazy. It's miraculous. He says, why do you think evil in your hearts? And then verse 5, he says, for which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, rise and walk? And verse 6, listen to what he says. But that you may know that the Son of Man, that was just a title demonstrating his manness, but also his deity. He says, but that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. He then said to the paralytic, rise, pick up your bed, and go home. You see, Jesus came. Jesus came to earth to forgive sins and to offer spiritual life, but many didn't believe him. They didn't believe that he could accomplish this supernatural feat of forgiving someone's sins. In Mark chapter 2, there's an account of this story, and they say specifically, no one can forgive sins but God. That's why they were calling him a liar, because you're saying that you have the power to forgive sins, so we understand that you are claiming to be God. We don't believe you. And he says, I'm going to prove it to you by telling this paralyzed person, rise up, take up your bed, walk, go home. And he did. And so Jesus healed. He healed people physically because, yes, he had compassion on them, but also he healed them to prove that he had the power to forgive sins. If Jesus has the power to heal, then he can forgive our sins and give us life. Last but not least, Jesus has the power to rise from the dead. John 10, 18 says, Jesus, talking about giving up his life, he says, no one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have the authority, or the power, some translations say. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again. That's quite a claim, isn't it? Let me read Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 8. It says, but on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise." And they remembered his words. Jesus said that he had the power to give up his life, and he said that he had the power to take it again. And he said, "I'm going to be betrayed, and I'm going to be crucified, and I'm going to die, and I'm going to be buried, and 3 days later, I am going to, by my power, take my life back from the dead." A quick, interesting teaching moment. The Bible teaches, we talk about the Trinity, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Bible teaches that God the Father raised Jesus from the dead. And in Romans chapter 8, or maybe 11, I think it's chapter 8, verse 11. You can fact check me later. It's in the Bible somewhere. In Romans, you read Romans, you'll find it. It says, by the same Spirit, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead will also resurrect us. And we sang that song earlier, right? The resurrected King is resurrecting me. By your Spirit I will rise. That's straight from the Bible. Okay, so God the Father raised Jesus from the dead. God the Spirit, by his power, Jesus was raised from the dead. And Jesus said in John 10:18, "I have the power to lay it down, and I, Jesus, have the power to take it again." Isn't that awesome? You see, the Trinity, the power of the Trinity represented in the power of the resurrection, but specifically Jesus. He is God. He has the power to take his life back from the dead. He said he was going to do it, and he did it. If Jesus has the power to rise from the dead, then you guessed it. He can forgive our sins, and he can give us life. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you that Jesus has the power. God, he has the power to forgive us of our sins and to give us life. God, I pray that we would rejoice in that power today. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope that you were blessed and inspired by today's message. If you would like to hear more messages like this, we invite you to Open Door Church, 4838 Meadowlark Lane in Columbia.